You know how fussy the boys are, especially about barbecued steaks.
They should be pampered a little. They're pretty good husbands, you know.
And pretty cute, too.
Wilma and Betty were characters, female characters of their times, of the 60s. They were housewives.
They probably got to show off the gadgets in the show more than anybody did. They'd make a pie and they'd have a bird and they would, like, you know, clip off the edge of the pie as they turned it around, you know, turn the pie, and then they would use the feet to, you know, to decorate the top of it, or the vacuum cleaner, which was a baby elephant. The way women were portrayed in sitcoms at that time, they were always kind of like, not the nagging wife or whatever, but it was just more or less the, we got to get this past the wives, you know.
Fred and Barney had to answer to somebody. I mean, there was a definite pecking order on the show, and I think ultimately the women ruled what went on.
What do you suppose it's all about, Wilma?
I don't know, but let's go along with it. Something will give them away.
It always does.
In Wilma's case, of course, she showed Fred's warmer side. Here is a guy that it could have been, you know, pretty easy for him to become unlikable.
How come you don't like me as much as Dino does?
He kind of always had to answer to Wilma, and there was always that sweet moment where he would tell her what had tell her the truth, or give her a big hug, or she would forgive him.
Oh, how could I have doubted you? You wonderful man.
Betty was more of a supporting character. Whenever Fred had some kind of scheme, she would have to go over and support Wilma in helping her through.
I think she had the most personality. She had that funny laugh, and I guess that's why, you know, there's this whole mystique around Betty somehow being sexier than Wilma.
Betty's a babe. I think, definitely a Betty man over a Wilma.
At the beginning, if people looked very carefully, there was a certain simplicity and much more of a broad cartoon feeling to both Wilma and Betty. And they became a little subtler and a little bit more feminized as the shows went on.
By the time they got to the third season, they were kind of looking for a hook, you know, something to throw a little bit more of a spin on the family dynamic, I guess.
Of course, I love children, but I'm not sure how Fred will feel about it. He might not like the patter of little feet around the house.
Mr. Barbera, when he was talking to the sponsors or to the network about wanting to have a child come along for the Flintstones, he went in with this boy in mind. Midway through it, somebody in the room must have been one of the sponsors or maybe the toy company that was associated with the show or marketing, not sure. They said, you know, girl dolls sell a lot better than boy dolls.
And he is so quick on his feet, without missing a beat. Joe just simply said, it's a girl. They're having a girl.
It's true, folks. The Flintstones are gonna have a baby. And I want everybody in the whole wide world to know it.
One of the promotions for the show, in fact, leading up to it, was a contest for the viewers to mail in postcards guessing what weight she would be when she was born. And a butcher in Florida, I believe, won. And his prize, he and his wife were flown around the world.
The other contest was any baby that was born during the airing of the show. The winners of that would get a $25 savings bond and a doll, a Pebbles doll. And I guess there were over 100 babies born during that half-hour period.
He opened this up with my luck. Bugs got to it or something. Nope, she's still intact. There she is.
Coincidentally, in the summer of the recording of that episode where Pebbles was going to be born, Jean Vanderpyle, the actress who did the voice for Wilma, was pregnant. As she and Alan Reed, he did the voice of Fred, were going through the script, and it came to the part where Pebbles was born, and he held her in his arms and called her his little Pebbly Poo. The two actors got a little choked up. They had to do several takes, apparently, and they got a little misty-eyed.
She looks like a Pebbles Flintstone.
Papa, Papa.
After Pebbles is part of the household. We're seeing more and more of the fatherly instinct coming from Fred. Protective, wants the best for his daughter, the warm, cuddly side of Fred.
Now he had to be a good dad. And he was a real proud daddy, but he was still the lout he always was. So that made for some good stories.
With the Flintstones getting pebbles, then they, you know, it was an obvious thing for the Rubbles to have a baby.
They wished upon a falling star, and lo and behold, as happens in Bedrock, I guess, a little baby boy was delivered inside a tortoise shell, and there was Bam Bam and his large club.
Bam Bam were based specifically on another Hanna-Barbera character from the Rough and Ready show named Ubble Ubble, and he was a little boy caveman with a big club who, when he'd bash it on the ground, everything would shake.
The thing about Bam Bam, it was really strange to me. They never explained why he was really strong, and that's what I loved about Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
The actual writing excellence that went into these early Flintstones shows, there was a cadre of writers that were just absolutely great.
I think the voice actors probably brought a lot to the table. The way Alan Reed handled Fred, M.L. Blanc did Barney, the way B. Benaderet did Betty, Gene Vanderpile did Wilma, they had to be very strong voices.
Wilma, what's that awful noise?
I don't know, but it sounds like someone's had an accident.
The essence of Flintstones was reaching out to the audience and having fun with the audience, with things that they're familiar with and they can identify with.
Fred. Yabba, dabba, do.